The world's oceans reached 20.96 degrees Celsius, average surface temperature, last July. And the number that deserves attention alongside it is the compounding of records. We've now set new July ocean temperature highs in 2023 and again in 2026. Each of those records was called remarkable at the time. The fact that they're being broken within 3 years of each other is the pattern that matters more than any individual reading. Ocean heat content drives hurricane intensification, disrupts marine food webs, and bleaches coral at rates that limit reef recovery. The Great Barrier Reef has experienced its fifth mass bleaching event since 2016, and the intervals between bleaching events are shortening faster than reefs can recover.
The Greenhouse Gas and Sea Level Report covering 2025 confirms the same story from a different direction. Carbon dioxide concentrations at Mauna Loa exceeded 425 parts per million in 2025, the highest in at least 3 million years based on ice core records. Sea level rose approximately 3.7 millimeters globally last year, which adds to a cumulative rise of roughly 25 centimeters since 1900. The 25-centimeter figure sounds modest until you apply it to storm surge calculations for coastal cities, where 25 additional centimeters fundamentally changes the frequency of flooding events.
NOAA ending support for the Arctic report card without explanation is worth framing historically. The program has produced continuous data since 2006, and that 20-year baseline is scientifically irreplaceable. You cannot recreate it retroactively. What scientists are most concerned about is not just losing future measurements. It's losing the institutional capacity to interpret them, the network of international collaborators who contribute to the report, and the public-facing synthesis that makes the data accessible to policymakers and the public. The decision appears to have been made without scientific review or budget justification, which scientists say is anomalous, even for a program that was being discontinued for legitimate reasons.
The Webb Telescope images of the Lion Nebula provide the long view that helps contextualize all of this in a way. We're looking at a star that died and scattered its constituent elements outward into the surrounding gas cloud. Those elements, carbon, oxygen, silicon, iron, will eventually be incorporated into new star systems and potentially new planets. The infrared imaging reveals structures that are invisible in optical wavelengths, temperature gradients in the dust, the ionization front, where stellar radiation meets the surrounding material, dense clumps that may be sites of future star formation. It's a reminder that the processes shaping our own planet's future are the same ones operating at stellar scale on timescales we can't intuit.
The dog brain scanning research is more immediately relatable, and it's genuinely rigorous science rather than pop psychology. Two independent studies converged on the finding that domestication has wired canine brains with neural circuits specifically tuned to human facial expressions, and that when dogs see a human smile, the brain activity in their reward centers is similar to the activity triggered by food. This is not learned behavior in the individual dog, it's evolutionary architecture. Built in over the roughly 15,000 years, dogs have been living alongside humans. We've changed their brains, and they've been shaped to respond to our emotions as if our happiness is their reward.
The shark story out of Scarborough Beach in Maine is the news item that defies both tragedy and comedy. A lifeguard was grabbed by a great white shark and dragged underwater, freed himself, and swam to shore uninjured because the shark grabbed his rescue torpedo buoy rather than his body. The lifeguard is fine, and the shark presumably continued about its business. Great whites are increasingly being observed in Maine waters as ocean temperatures push their prey ranges northward. It's a small, non-lethal data point in the same climate story we've been tracking.
The Columbia earthquake, a death toll passing 160, with rescuers still working through rubble, is a humanitarian tragedy that deserves to be named clearly, even on a day when it competes with a large number of major news stories. Rescue operations in the immediate 72 hours after a major earthquake are the critical window for finding survivors, and the international response, in terms of equipment and trained teams, is the decisive variable for how that toll moves in the coming days.
Colombia sits on a geologically active region, the subduction zone where the Nazca Plate slides under South America, has produced major earthquakes throughout the country's history. The social vulnerability in rural and mountainous areas, where much of the damage is concentrated in lower-income communities with less robust construction, compounds the geological risk significantly. Those communities deserve the same urgency in the coverage that we'd apply to a natural disaster in any other context.